Leviticus 25 verse 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We hope you'll stay tuned. We have an interesting program for you today, and we're looking forward to getting into that. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located just 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road above the Willow Creek Golf Course. Many people around know where that is. We're just a little ways out of town, and we'd love to invite you to come be with us in any or all of our services. We have Sunday morning Sunday school for all ages at 10, Sunday morning worship at 11, every Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. I'm trying to preach through the book of Colossians, so we have a lot of things going on, and it's just good to be here today. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do want to welcome all of our listeners, WATA, and then also those who listen in on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on WZAP over in Bristol. We appreciate the good folks over there as well. And I'm just going to jump right into the broadcast today. We have been looking in Genesis chapter number 19 for the past 2 weeks. And I told Noah, I said, I have way more I have more material than I have time for. 30 minutes gets gone pretty quickly. And so we do appreciate those who listen in. And there are even those who take their lunch early and sit in their car and listen to the radio broadcast and stop what they're doing at home and listen. And so we appreciate that, and we don't take it for granted. We certainly try not to waste anybody's time. But we've been talking for the past 2 weeks out of Genesis chapter number 19 about the biblical account of Sodom and Gomorrah, what the Bible really has to say over there. And of course, if you'd like to listen back to those radio broadcasts, those are archived on the Mount Lebanon website. MountLebanonBC.org is how you find it over there. And we've had part one, part two. And what we've been doing is looking in the Bible and what it has to say about the subject of homosexuality. And one of the reasons why I felt led to do this, I get sort of aggravated that there are so many people out here that use the Bible, or they might say something about the Bible, but they really don't use the Bible. They'll say, well, the Bible says, and never give any evidence to back it up. Really, my opinion doesn't matter at all. What matters is what the Bible says. You know, if somebody says the Bible teaches that homosexuality is a sin, then they need to be able to go to the Bible and show somebody why it says that, where it says that. But so many times people use the Bible and they just say, well, the Bible says. They give no evidence, no scripture, no book, no chapter, no quotation, no contextual setting of why the Bible says what it says. You know, if someone says, on the other hand, well, I was born a homosexual, God made me that way. If they're going to use God's name in the subject, they need to be able to go to the Bible and give an answer, and give an answer for the objections as well. And so the Bible is what is important. And this is relevant to the blessings of liberty, because marriage is the cornerstone of our society. It is the bedrock of family. And so if we as a society are going to go around changing what marriage means, it's going to change our society in many different ways. And so I believe we do need to take a good look at what the Bible says and what history teaches us. And so we've been laying a foundation for the past couple of weeks along these lines. You know, anybody can take bits and pieces from the Bible and attempt to prove anything. I gave the example of Psalms 14 in verse number 1, where the Bible says there is no God. You know, I could take the Bible and I could say, well, the Bible says there is no God. But if we take that in its context, I mean, we read all of the verse, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And it doesn't stop right there. It goes on and talks about those who say there is no God. And it says they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There's no such thing as a good atheist. That's what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That is what the Bible says about that. You know, I was reading yesterday just in my daily Bible reading, and I am in the book of James, or I was reading in the book of James. It's a short book, so I finished it yesterday. It's only 5 chapters, but in the book of James, I came across something that I'd never really noticed before, and that is what the Bible says about gay clothing. Do you know the Bible says something about gay clothing? It sure does. It talks in the Bible about how we should treat those who wear gay clothing, and that we are not to be a judge of those who wear gay clothing. Now, what I've said concerning that is true. It does say those things, but without going and reading that passage of Scripture, James chapter number 2, you will not know how to take that. And let me just share with you a couple of verses over there just to show to you, just to give an example this morning that we need to be careful how we take the Word of God, and we need to take it in its context. In James chapter 2, now you'll notice it when I come to it, but it says the two words, gay clothing, but in context. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now, this is talking about how we treat people in the setting of the church. He said, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So you see how things can be taken and lift a little phrase out of its context and cause confusion, or cause something to say something that it's not saying. You know, when I was growing up, and maybe most of you listening today, when you were growing up, the word gay didn't mean what it does today. You would use the word in respect to children having a good time, or a birthday party, or somebody being cheerful and gay, and it didn't mean what it has come to mean today. So we need to go to the Bible and read the Bible in its context, and that'll really help all of us. And so that in James chapter number 2 is just saying we're not to have respect of persons and treat a rich man better than we would a poor man that would come into our assembly or into the church setting. Now, today we're going to be in Leviticus chapter number 18. Today, Leviticus chapter number 18, we find here the law of Moses. Now, last time we seen Genesis chapter number 19, the past 2 weeks, and the subject of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is the most famous instance of homosexuality in the Bible. And today we're going to look at the most famous verse in the Bible that has to deal with homosexuality, and it's Leviticus chapter number 18 and verse number 22. Now, the Bible says there, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And so that, I would say, is the most referred to verse talking about the subject of homosexuality. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, this is from the Old Testament law, and many people want to throw it out just because it's in the Old Testament. They'll say, that's the Old Testament, that's the law, that does not apply to us. Well, one preacher said, in the Old Testament is also where you find that man started breathing, and nobody has a problem with that. You know, just because something is in the Old Testament does not mean that it's good, does not mean that it's not applicable to us today, because it is. Here's what Jesus Christ had to say about the law. He said in Matthew chapter number 5 in verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And there is a big difference between destroying something and fulfilling something. Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And He fulfilled the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled all the law. He did not break the law. He lived a sinless, perfect life, thus fulfilling the law of God. And in Him being sinless, He could become our Savior and has become our Savior and died upon the cross for our sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God and broken the law of God. But Jesus Christ did not. He fulfilled all of the expectations of the law and all of the points and precepts and everything. He came to be the fulfillment of the law. So Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law." The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 8, in discussing the subject of the law, because Paul, he was a Jew that became a saved Jew. He became a Christian, and he trusted Christ as his Savior and looked to Him as his personal Messiah. And Paul, who was a Pharisee, who knew the law, he said this to Timothy. He said, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." Now, to use it lawfully means that the law still pertains to right living. And in the Old Testament law, we have rules for right living. We have rules that will benefit any society that takes the law of God and says, "We're going to live by the law." Now, there are two aspects to the Old Testament law. One is the moral, the other is the ceremonial law. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, He fulfilled, He accomplished, He is, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." He became our Passover lamb. He became our high priest. He became our way into the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died upon the cross, that did away with the ceremonial parts of the law, meaning today we do not sacrifice animals and shed their blood and take them to an altar and burn them there upon the altar. We do not observe the holy days of the Old Testament as under the law, the Feast of Tabernacles and the Day of Atonement and all of these things. We do not have the washings and the cleansings and the priesthood and all of these things. Jesus Christ, when He died upon the cross, He fulfilled all of the ceremonial. We don't have to observe the ceremonial parts of the law anymore. But the moral law still stands. What I mean, the Ten Commandments, they're still good. They are still beneficial to society. And Paul told Timothy, he said, "The law is good if a man use it lawfully." And then he goes on in verse number 9, and he said, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind." Now, I'll show you over there in the book of Leviticus that that is a reference to the homosexual, because it said over there, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." And so Paul told Timothy, he said, the law was still for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and we refer back, and I took a whole year almost and talked about how that our nation was founded upon the Word of God, the Bible. Our laws, our nation's laws, were based upon the Old Testament law. Not only Once upon a time in this nation, in all states, all 50 states, there were laws on the books against homosexuality, or what they used to call it, sodomy. It was against the law, right in there with murder and theft and perjury and adultery, and there were laws on the books. Where did those laws come from? They came from the Bible. This is where the laws of our nation came from, and it was against the law. Homosexuality was against the law. That was not something that somebody come up with. That was something they found in the Old Testament once upon a time. We had the law in our nation. We honored God's law. God's law was before us in the Ten Commandments. You had the Ten Commandments in school. You had the Ten Commandments when you went to the courthouse. It'd be posted on the wall. You had the Ten Commandments at the state house. And the law of God was before our eyes. And man, when he is exposed to the law of God, he knows that's right, that's wrong. Now in America, the law of God is being removed from every instance that it appears in the public eye. It's out of the schools. It's out of the courthouses. You know where they judge the law and where they bring people before the court. And they have banned the Ten Commandments in many courthouses and taken it away. It's being removed from the public eye. And we're going to go back to, like we find in the Old Testament, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's what happens when you don't have the law of God. People just sort of live by their own moral code. They don't know what to do. But the law is still good. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is still true what the Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You know, it's a dangerous thing when our nation decides on purpose to forget God and His law and what it says. Now, Leviticus chapter number 18. I do not have time to read the whole chapter, but there's only 30 verses there. I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. Read it in its context. I'll give you just a few things today. Leviticus chapter number 18 is God's word to His people concerning their relationships and their walk in this world, concerning relationships, both unlawful and lawful. Now, in verses 1 through 5, I'll just point out a few things here. This is getting Leviticus 18 in its proper context. First of all, God tells them what not to do. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Now, He being God, He has the authority to tell us what to do and how to live. And He said, I'm the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Now, God told His children, the children of Israel, He said, when you go into the land, don't do what they did. Don't live like them. Don't do this. Verse number four, He said, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. He said, don't do this, do this. And He said in verse 5, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. He says, this is the way to life. If you'll do my law, if you'll obey what I'm saying, I'll bless you. You'll have life. And so He's talking to them about their relationships, what's right and what's wrong. Now, in verses 6 through verse number 20, He lays out a proper relationship in the family and what's right and what's wrong. Just for example, verse 6 through verse number 19. I'll not read all that, but in verse 6 He said, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. And what God lays down here in His word is that He forbids His people to commit incest. Anybody that is near of kin, God said, you're not to approach unto them. You're not to uncover their nakedness. And he goes on down, and I will just pick out a few things here in verses 6 through 19. He talks about that it's not right to have a relationship with your mother or your father. That's in verse 7. Verse number 8 is your father. Verse number 9, the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. He said it's not right to have a relationship with your sister. He says that again in verse number 11. Verse number 14, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. And so, the mother, he's saying these are off bounds, these are off limits. You don't approach unto you. Verse number 15, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. So we would refer to these as being incestuous relationships. God said, don't do that. It's against my law. Now he goes on down in verses 20 through 23. I'm going to read these verses. These are talking about relationships in society. And in verse number 20, he said, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Now that is adultery. That is an adulterous relationship. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do like the Egyptians and the Canaanites. In verse number 21, he said, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now the Canaanites had a false god that they worshipped called Molech. And this Molech was a huge idol, and that he was in the form of an altar. And they would put the fire underneath the altar and get the body of Molech red hot. And he had his arms stretched out. And so they would build this fire under the false god Molech. And in order to worship Molech, they would take their little babies and they would lay their babies in the red hot arms of Molech and offer their children, their seed, up on the altar of Molech and burn them alive and kill their children. And God said, don't do that. Don't do like the Canaanites. Don't do like the Egyptians. Don't let your seed, your children, pass through the fire. And then in verse number 22, he said, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, here's the first time in all of these relationships that we have the word abomination. The word literally means disgusting or an abhorrence. It means to be a stench in the nostrils of God. And then verse 23, now all of these are together here in this section. He said in verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now, I debated on whether or not to even say anything about that, but that's bestiality. You know, yesterday there was a headline, October the 24th, 2011, NBC, New York, that said this, mandatory sex education details may be too racy for parents. And it talked about in this article that these lessons that are going to begin next spring, the children are going to learn, and some of these things are too embarrassing even to mention this morning, but these young people, mandatory sex education, some of the topics they're going to learn about, one of them was bestiality, pornography, porno stars, other things. I won't even mention this morning, but God said, don't do that. It's confusion. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion. And if we read this in its context, it's not just talking about the bestiality, but it's talking about the homosexuality. It's talking about the worship of Molech and the offering of their children. It's talking about committing adultery. God said all of these things, they're confusion. God said, don't do that. It's not right. It's against the law. Now, let me say, marriage, it right now, is between a man and a woman. That's pretty simple. That's straightforward. Most people understand that. if homosexual marriage becomes the law of the land, then it's going to not only involve what they label as homosexuality, but you're going to see BGLT, that stands for bisexual, gay, lesbian, transgender. That's how this is being presented in society today. Now, if we're going to change marriage to suit all these different groups that are out there and are not satisfied with marriage being between a man and a woman, what we're going to have under the BGLT heading, you're going to have bisexual. That means both. That's a man with a woman, or a woman with a woman, or a man with a woman. You're going to have gay, that's a man with a man. You're going to have lesbian, that's a woman with a woman. You're going to have transgender. Transgender could be a woman living as a man with a woman or a man, or a man living as a woman with a woman or a man, or a woman with a sex change to a man with a man or a woman, or a man with a sex change to a woman married to a woman, or a man. Or if you have two transgendered people who wanted to get married, you could have a born man changed to a woman married to a man that was born a woman, which might make them transgendered straight. I do not know. But I'm just saying, if we change what God has said marriage is, this is what we're going to run into as a society. Or in the case of two men who are transgendered, one could be born a man living as a woman, the other could be born a man changed to a woman, which might make them lesbians. I don't know about that either. It's confusion. You say that doesn't make any sense. That's confusing. Yes, I know. That's what God said. God said, when you leave my standard, when you get into all of these things, you're going to have confusion. And my, what a mess we're getting into in our society. I think about the example I gave last week about the little 11-year-old boy who is taking hormone-blocking drugs because he doesn't know if he wants to be Tammy or Tommy. He has two mamas. They're lesbians, and he's confused about his gender, and so they're going to help him decide what he wants to be. My goodness, that's confusion. God never meant for it to be that way. God's made this thing very simple. Now, I read on down quickly today just to give you an example. Leviticus chapter 18, in context, God said, don't do these things. He said in verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. I don't have time to read all of these verses. Verse 26, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. Verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out. Also, when you defile it, it is spewed out, the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Verse 30 talks about their abominable customs. Well, there's a little bit. Read Leviticus chapter number 18. Don't go around saying the Bible says. Know what the Bible says. The Bible does not need us to stand for it. The Bible stands for itself. Noah's going to give you the contact information. Thank you for listening.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.